Bishop, right? Actually, guys, I'm wondering why I agreed to do this, so I'm going to let my wife come up. I do want to say we honestly love everyone here. We were both saved not long before we met and married, and we searched a long time to find a good church home. And we really tried to dig in at a few, but it just, for whatever reason, it never felt right. And we understand why now. When we first came here, you guys just genuinely loved on us and made us feel at home. And we'd do anything in the world for anyone here, and that's the truth. It's within our power. I'm honored Pastor Mark asked me to give my testimony. I'm not a very good speaker. You know, if you come to be entertained, that's not going to happen. But I can tell you the truth. It's what the Lord's done in my life. And brother, you said it well. I know people that have been in church their whole life, never really did much. You know, against the grain, so to speak, saved, raised a family, did well, went to heaven or on their way. You know, there's none good, no, not one, the Bible says. And my testimony, however heavy at times, or it certainly was as a child, is nothing in comparison to, you know, believers in North Korea or even here in the States. I've met a lot of people. I've kind of become a magnet over the years. One thing God's put in me, and I never have the answer. I know the one who does. People will come up to me at Walmart or just out of the blue and tell me their darkest, ugliest secrets. It shocks me and my wife still, and even when I don't want to hear it, you know, and I'll pray with people and point them to the way. I used to really get hung up on the results. I was radically saved. And the purpose of my testimony, you know, you're to honor your mother and father. Sadly, I never had that relationship with my parents. And when I share some of the things I do, it's in hope someone can relate that may have went through the same thing or have family members. It's not to put down anyone lost in sin or my parents. Hopefully, at least y'all don't know my mother, and it doesn't matter. I'm going to talk about her some. It affected me heavily as a young child. This is not a thing either of look how bad I had it, that's why I become the sinner I did, at all. You know, I know people, most of you may know, I have a residential recovery program for adult males. So almost without fail, every guy that comes there, they failed at most everything else before they got there. That's my past, and it's what God's called me to do. So, and He's allowed me to make a career for my family and for many other families and income and able to help a lot of people. You've got to want it, but I can so relate to them. You know, no one can sit across my desk, and a lot of guys come voluntarily. We have court-ordered guys, have guys brought in shackled like this and sit down and go, what do you want me to do? You know, and from every walk of life, but none can sit on the other side of my desk and think, man, you don't know where I'm coming from. You don't know what I'm going through. A lot of the things I did, I really crossed the line, and I'll share some of that as I feel led. And it's not one of these war story things to go, look how ugly I was, or, you know, I did this or that. But it's necessary to add the truth to just say what the Lord's done for me. And again, whether your walk's much worse, you know, or not so bad, we're all sinners saved by grace. And that's inclusive of everyone that'll ever be saved by grace. And it's the Lord. You know, we said the other morning, it's so easy to say we chose Him or we chose to turn our lives around. And I know for me and probably yourselves, if you look at it honestly, He chose us. You know, if you weren't saved that radically, got a friend, I don't see much anymore. He was a deacon in the church. He was there heavily active, nicest guy you ever met. He was genuine. And he stood up in the middle of a service. He'd been at this particular church long before we got there. And he said, you know what? This is hard to say. I hope no one judges me. I can't ever really remember giving my life to the Lord. And everyone was floored by it. But I so admired that. And, you know, he was brought up that way. He didn't have my testimony. Now, if that would have been me, God knows what it takes for each and every person here. Now, we're a unique creation. I don't care what the world tells you. We didn't evolve. God made each one of us, knitted us together in the womb before we were ever born. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. So with that, I'll just start right into why y'all have met me and we're here at this church today, I guess. My earliest memories, my mother was on probably her third marriage, and it was a stepfather, actually the closest man in my life as a child I ever got to. He really tried. I called him my dad. But the best of times was not a bloody screaming fight. Not with me. I was never, I want to keep it PG for the children, but I was never in a molestation or just beat physically by either of my parents. But on the best of times, there was always drinking, fighting. I mean, it was nothing to go to bed with screaming and yelling in the background. Ironically, when I was 30, I had to hear that to sleep. I had to control the chaos, so to speak. But it was just continually, from the time I first started going to school, never went to kindergarten. Back then, most people didn't. I know I didn't. But as soon as I started a school anywhere, as soon as I fought the bullies, made friends, it was time to leave. And I mean with no plan. And none of this is look how bad my mother was. I would have been much worse had the Lord not have saved me. The very things I hated in my mother and my father, I became much worse. So be careful when you draw lines and judge others, even if you've been done terrible by them. And I've forgiven all of this. There's no bitterness. But it was if there was any need or problem, it was, you know, she was so into her thing. She was heavily bound by the occult and gambling, and both completely controlled her life. And I don't mean it's like drugs became my God. It was her God. When she was there, she was rocking and going through cards just in a zone for days. I'm not exaggerating. May use the bathroom, but not eat. And to you knew you didn't bother her. You didn't talk to her. She would go off on you. You could have a serious wound. And, shut up. I don't have time for that right now. And just so into that zone. She could turn it on and off enough when she wanted to. And my mother was pretty. She was young. She was very attractive. She could get just any man. Myself, and I was a mess, even at that young age, but I had a handicapped brother, too, and that's a lot of baggage, especially back then. You know, I'm 50, and, you know, it's not so much about age, but in today's, even then, divorce wasn't that uncommon. Today, marriage is uncommon. We are really blessed to be living in a functional relationship, and I don't say that judgmentally. I've been married before. God wasn't in it. It meant nothing. I've been redeemed, forgiven, given a beautiful wife. And Lord willing, we'll be together until the Lord returns or one of us pass or both of us. But, you know, it was just a continual getting many times. I'd get out of school and the car was packed. Mother was furious. And it was always the guy throwing us out's fault. You know, it never was because we owed 3 months rent. And Mother lied to get us in there. That wasn't even in the equation. And she would cuss anyone out for questioning her. And I mean, from my earliest memories on up, I had to deal with that. I answered the door many times and learned not to from people she owed a lot of money to. A lot of money. And I bring her up a lot, not in a bitter way today. Now, it used to be, but because I was the baggage that was with her. It was her and I moving around. She put my brother, who was partially blind and crippled with cerebral palsy, in a home, so he would rarely get to make the trip back, and it was just me with her. But and it wasn't to be cruel, but Mother was so obsessed and possessed with her way of life, all that mattered. I don't know if you've known a gambler, and addiction's addiction. It can be pornography, drugs, it doesn't matter. Now, we're all likely to sin. As children of God and Christians, we have to stay prayed up and prepare, and we still sin. Let's admit it. We don't have to. It's not part of daily life. But, you know, given the right set of circumstances, we can all do about anything. The point is, repent quickly. Turn away from it. Get back on track. If you refuse to do that, as my mother did, you get truly turned over to that reprobate mind. You do come to a place, and as I did before salvation, that right or wrong is not even on the radar. This is just what's going on. To her, she saw nothing at all. She could look through me and me have a serious problem, and why am I bothering her? You know, my father was her second marriage. They divorced before I ever remembered him. Now, my father, he wasn't a mean guy by any means, but a severe alcoholic. I got to visit him when his grass was that deep, and he was fighting with his at-the-time wife. I had a half-brother and sister through him. I never lived with my father, but literally, you know, if the grass is real deep, hey, I just think we should spend some time together. He'd watch TV and drink beer while I cut the grass. And, you know, if the buzz was too good or not good enough, he'd find a problem with me and send me home. My mother, on the other hand, any friend or family member, you know, again, we were moving continually. We've slept in the car. We've slept with every relative, every friend of every relative, every friend of a friend of anyone we could go into. And it was always just for tonight, or can you watch him just for a moment, or just for a few hours? I'll be back. Mother would disappear and gamble. And it wasn't like a plan so much as it was like me doing drugs. You know, it was just going to be one line, but 2 weeks later, you know. And so it would be often we were abused or, and I say we when my brother was around, or neglected when people rightfully mad. They didn't ask, you know, they were kind of doing a favor and didn't want to do it, and they really thought Mother would be back the next morning. 2 weeks later, they hadn't heard from Mom, you know, at least a few days. And her gambling, literally, I don't know, I couldn't do it without the use of drugs. My mother could sit up 4 or 5 days with not a wink of sleep looking at cards or gambling. I don't even know how it's humanly possible without substance abuse. That wasn't her issue, thankfully. Many times, and I didn't understand it or know what it was then, but my mother would go to get tarot cards read. And I'm not going to get off in the depths of that. But don't think for a moment, especially you kids, I really want to point this out. It is just popular. Half of the shows on TV, Bewitched, or, you know, it's white witchcraft, and it's even, you know, Disney movies, and it's beautiful and fun, and it's very enchanting, and it's got a beautiful story where the hero gets the girl and everyone's happy. You are opening a door with drugs, alcohol, any of that. And I didn't even understand what it was, but Mother would go, and I forget what she said actually, but it was kind of, we're going to see my, and she wouldn't say card reader, and I didn't understand it at the time, but they would make me sit in the living room. They'd be in the other room. It may be 15 minutes, maybe 2 hours. She charged my mother. Now, whether she really was in tune with the spirits or a charlatan, I have no idea. They're both out there, but there is reality to witchcraft and the occult. Most of it is for show. It's psychic tricks and whatnot. Sadly, a lot of televangelists use the same tricks, man, to try and get you to send a check that you don't have, and God's not in it at all. That's another story for another time, but that gets my blood heated. But I do know this, not really understanding what was going on, in 15 minutes or 2 hours, Mother would come running out, tickled like an 8-year-old girl that just met Santa Claus. Let's go! Or she would come out crying and just get in the car, screaming depressed because of whatever this lady told her. I started thinking there was something to it when it was one of those even, come on, get in the car, blah, blah, blah. And this was her mother, who was alive at the time, going, I love him. In fact, he'd be better if you weren't in his life. You're my daughter, and I love him, and I'll raise him. But he adores you. He needs his mom. You need to spend some time with him. So she got me, and we went, you know, to her card reader to spend some time together. A couple hours later, we're racing back. Mom just pouring, crying, and she's all lovey on her mom and my grandmother, who was seemingly Christian. She read the Bible a lot. She passed when I was pretty young, but and she's like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? Have you been drinking? She's like, no. She's like, Mother, you're going to die soon. You know, and of course, she laughed at her, mocked it. Well, sure enough, you know, Total coincidence. And if you are seeking occult knowledge, it will never help you. It will never benefit you, really. But there are those that can get little truths. It'll never point you to the Lord. It will only give you grief and doom in your life. Trust me, don't try it. Trust me. In fact, the only thing that kept me from seeking that road hard was seeing how it destroyed my mother's life. But sure enough, a couple of weeks later, my grandmother passed. She was the only stability on my mother's side. Even her husband and all the men, uncles, severe alcoholism, drug addiction, physical abuse. I mean, when we were real young, we were told by the beer gut laughing fools in our family, you weren't a real man until you showed your old lady what time it was and had been to prison twice. I mean, literally, that was my role models coming up. And, you know, when that's all you're around, that becomes your norm. The thing is, if you get redeemed by the Lord, to not let your past define you. You know, that's the whole key to it all. We suffer things, we have joy, we have pain, we have loss. God can use that, even though it wasn't His will. You did certain things or went through certain things. He can use that for His glory and your benefit and the benefit of others. Y'all forgive me. And, you know, so that was just the story up and down. Now, the only true Christians for sure I ever knew or met in my entire circle, other than a random stranger, because I wasn't drug into a church except by them, and it was drug, was my father's grandparents, my father's parents, my grandparents. Even as a young boy, I didn't mind. Man, he didn't whip me much, and I needed a lot more. But all I knew was that I knew they loved me, but I thought it was a goody two shoes for show thing, because the only people I'd saw that was, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, whatever, that was fake. It was to manipulate. I'd never seen it, and I didn't recognize it as genuine, but I knew they really loved me, and my grandfather was my hero. He was the only man in my whole life that was always honest. He told me anything. Man, he's one of those people you could count on. Now, we're humans and flawed. I'm not hanging wings on him. You know, but he was an honest man. He worked hard. When he was 75, he'd have knee pads because his knees were killing him and pull weeds in his yard. You know, when people are like, you're too old, I'm not letting you build a house for me. You know, he hated it. He worked. I'm like, Grandpa, you're too hard. He's like, son, if I ever quit, I'll die. And he did, you know, so he taught me the work ethic. You know, everyone else taught me how to get over. I'll never forget, I was 9 years old. And a babysitter, which meant someone mom could pitch $20 back in the late 70s to stay with us until she returned from a gambling spree. And usually mad and looking for, look, I'm leaving him. If you don't, you know, I'm done. You said 4 hours or you said overnight. Her boyfriend come over one night and they were smoking pot. And I'd been around it. I'd smelled it, but it was shut up, get out of here, you know, shut the door. Or some would let me see it, but, you know, I was young. I don't know your kid's age, but I was real young. For the first time in my life, I felt no insecurity or no pain when I talked them into letting me hit it. And I pray to God, if you ever do experiment, and I implore you not to, but if you ever do, I hope it didn't affect you that way, and I hope it turned your stomach like a lot of people I've talked to. Or you know you did something bad. I felt so good from that high, and I am not glorifying drugs, kids. But for a moment, I felt no fear. I wasn't worried about when was mom coming back, if she was going to jail, if she was going to cuss me out or, you know, pull my arm and throw me in the car and tell me we're moving to California or Georgia or Alabama or wherever we always went. It immediately, temporarily and falsely, became my God. And it worked for a season. You know, if sin didn't work for a season, none of us would. If Satan came at us, you know, with a flaming tail and pitchfork and rah, we would all run. Man, no one would mess up. And those of you that are saved know that is not how the devil comes at us. It's beautiful. It feels good. It feels right. Even if something in the back of your mind goes, this isn't good, it's better than what you have at that moment if it sucks you in and you become an addict. truly, you know, I got a friend here that may relate, but some people develop addiction. Some people, you know, and they call it genetic. In treatment circles, I'm into treatment. I have a, you know, turning point recovery. But I'm against the model they call it, you know, genetic predisposition. It is generational curses. Let me tell you what. Anyone can commit the worst sin, repent, and God break it. But you've got to pray that curse off of your family and your life, and you've got to turn away from it. I've been clean by the grace of God for 14, 15 years. I quit counting the years at one point. But I know I'm not a guy that can have a couple of beers and watch the game with the fellas. I might dodge a bullet a time or two. I used to do that to prove to myself I could do it. But before long, it's a pill. That didn't quite get me there. I got to mix the two. And then, you know, big deal, what's a joint? And then I'm doing a line. Then I'm robbing to get more cocaine or meth or whatever. The devil never says, no, just do this. This will be fun. And there may be people here going, well, you're weak or you're a fool. I did drugs all through high school, man, and I got married and quit. Well, that wasn't the trap that worked for you. Maybe no traps, you know, completely consumed your life. I know people go to church every Sunday, got a beautiful home, family, they're successful, the kids are in college, and they're so hooked on porn, they live at their computer, and them and their wife don't even know one another anymore. I had much rather have had my experience and the Lord redeem me than to think I was okay. Again, and I get sidetracked, forgive me, but I was wanting to make the point earlier that God knows us. If I would have been a guy okay, we've got a neighbor, best neighbor a person could have. He's Catholic. Now, I'll not say his name. I love him. Great neighbor. We carry him a Bible every Christmas, and he goes, you know I'm Catholic, right? You know? And we do it every single, and I said, I do know, but I'm praying for you, brother. And we're close enough, we're good friends. He calls on me. He knows I'm honest, I'm sincere. And I'm hoping that will be a witness over his indoctrination. But he was terrified when his wife died just lately. He's a, the point being, though, great neighbor. Everyone in the neighborhood knows, you know, this guy, he's honest. He'll watch your house when you're gone. You couldn't have a better neighbor. I'd rather have him than half the Christians I know. And I don't say that throwing anyone under the bus, but he's that good of a fella. But so what? So what? You know, his kids have went to high-dollar colleges, very successful. It's like it's not just they did okay or not turned out to be a young me. They're all overachievers and excel at everything. And when I talk to them, all I can see is they're lost and on their way to hell. That's all I can see. I don't even want to see it. And above everything I do, when I see people today, and it's a blessing and gift of God, but knowledge can be painful at times. You know, Solomon said, with wisdom there's pain. I'm paraphrasing, but I understand that. All I can see is they're clueless and on their way to hell. And I don't mean judgmentally. Are they saved? None of us are good enough. But this person as an example, I don't know a better man. You know, there's none good, but I honestly don't know a better, more honest, trustworthy neighbor. But what is that for? If I were him, point I was trying to make, I probably wouldn't see any flaws or a need from God. You know, Bob's guy, he'd tell me, saved from what? You know, and in his mind, that perfect logic. So I'm thankful for my past, but after many years of moving, I tried pot at 9. I just fell hopelessly in love with it. I'd already snuck drinks of beer, but it was gross as a 7 and 8 year old. You know, I thought it was cool, but when you're 9 and going on 10, especially 11 or 12, and a hopeless drug addict, I don't mean a kid that snuck and got high at the, you know, school out back once in a while. I lived for it. I found out who was dealing it, and I snuck in when I was young enough to get beat up, snuck in privately and got it. By the time I was 18, 19, I would go in on anyone in any neighborhood with no mask. Grace of God let me live, and they knew I was leaving with it. You're prepared to die, or I'm leaving with the drugs. And in my mind, it wasn't right or logical, but I wore that persona and that attitude. And my goal was to get high. I could not stand being alive without drugs, without a buzz. I hated me 100%. I hated my father because I was cutting grass. He was drunk and laughing at something stupid on TV and yelling, "Hurry up!" I hated him for drinking. I hated the alcohol. We never had a relationship, you know. And I've become worse than that. But I said, I'll never do that. I'll never play cards. You know, but careful of the lines you draw in the sand, even as a believer. And, you know, even as believers, again, we all want to say, yeah, well, I did drugs, but I never was a dealer. Yeah, I never do that. Or, you know, well, I never sold to kids. You know, or I was a rapist, but I never raped children. And I'm being graphic, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to be, but the point being, I talk to a lot of guys in prison. We all go, well, at least I'm not that bad, and point at someone else. The devil will take you anywhere, to any depth. The only hope, you know, and I should have turned a new leaf. I see guys every day go, man, you know, yeah, I'm quitting drugs. I'm getting a job for real. You know, I'm going to quit stealing from my granddad, man. You know, my girlfriend is pregnant, probably going to get married. And I'm for real. I mean that, Chance. I'm like, brother, you should turn a new leaf. It won't get you to heaven. And I wish you luck with that plan without the Lord. You know, I wish you luck. I don't hammer on them. I don't hammer the Bible on guys, man. I don't. You know, without the Holy Spirit working, all we can do is plant seeds anyway. And I used to be. I meant well, but I was so excited when the Lord saved me. And wow, I had real joy. I was grabbing people off the street. Man, repent with me now or to hell with you. Don't you get it? Don't you see? You don't know me, man. You don't know what I've been through. I used to do worse than that, man. You know, but and God smiled on my attitude, however ignorant. You know, but I realized after a while, I was the guy, when they saw me in Walmart, so I was like, what's up, Chance? It wasn't that they're this wicked person running from God. They didn't want me preaching at them, man, even though I meant well. It wasn't hypocritical, and God had the smile on it, you know, but I had an experience with the Lord. It was just bad news after bad news after bad news. There's no line, you know, and I told myself all the time, well, at least I never do that. And ironically, I had a gift. I could always start any kind of business, and it worked. I started many remodeling or whatever. Now, most of the guys I meet are above average intelligence. I'm talking guys with years in prison, from 1 to 5 children, never been a daddy to any of them, and they'll tell you about how all 5 old ladies do them dirty. And that woman's trying to get money out of me for my kid. But they brag about being a daddy. And I say again, not judgmentally, grace of God, that would have been me. I often forget where I'm going, forgive me. But the point being, addicts are not always the gutter drunk or the wino at, you know, Walmart asking you for a few bucks and they can barely walk. Most are overachievers, very artistic, and the most gifted of God. But if you refuse the calling of the God, and it doesn't have to be a big, huge thing, if you always turn your back, He'll give you over to that addiction. Or even if you don't have a particular addiction, He will let you live in sin. I've got good brothers and sisters in Christ that are very charismatic, and I don't say that negatively. I was one, or tried to be one for a while, but, and like, oh, it don't matter. I know Billy's called to preach. The Lord give me a vision, and they really believe that. They're not just spouting off. Well, Billy's 63, and, you know, on his second, you know, homicide, just has left a hell of a trail, and I say that not cursing. Just, you know, laid a path for hell for all these children who's never had. But he's been called to preach, and they mean that well. God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will endlessly beg and plead and come up. There are many nights. Well, I had an experience with the Lord, about 28, somewhere in there. And for years I struggled, was I saved and I backslid, or was the Lord just heavily talking to me and I, you know, reject Him? But yeah, I really saw sin for what it was. I saw what a worthless person I was with the blinders off, so to speak. I threw out everything I should in my life, quit drugs, quit drinking. started going to church. I didn't change anything though. I was the designated driver for all my partying buddies, the ones that would party with me. They were blown away, and it was almost a joke, a mystery with them. Yeah, when's he going to start back? Right. You know, but it was a struggle every day. You know, maybe I'd been saved, and this isn't so confusing later. Don't worry about me so much, but pray for me nonetheless. But I never let the Holy Spirit in, but I struggled. Every day was a, man, I'd rather be high. I'm not going to do it. God help me. God help me. And I meant it. I quit abusing people. Got cash register honest. That went on 6 or 8 months. I started thinking, the point I was making about most are more intelligent and capable addicts, I started another little business, boom, right from nothing, you know, fresh out of jail again, started making money, hiring my friends that griped about my lifestyle. And I started thinking, you know what, I can't be that bad, man. You know, I've got it together. I don't even know anyone can do some of the things I do. And I don't say this arrogantly. This was the mindset of a lost, prideful, selfish human being. But it was reality to me at the time. Now, I can have a few beers. I can do a line on the weekend like old buddy does. And it wasn't long before I was worse than ever. You know, and it immediately after I know I was saved, years later, God took me to the scripture when I was praying on that. You know, it says when the man cleaned and swept his house and the demon had left, he returned finding it empty, swept, garnished, and empty. I had not filled up. I'd read the word, but it was like reading a book, even though I agreed with it. It didn't jump off the pages and light my fire. You know, it didn't get me crying in the floor before the Lord. And I don't mean out of sadness. It didn't affect me that way. And I became much worse because then I had a real knowledge of God. I knew I was a bad dude. I knew there was no justification. But after a while, I have walked in my grandfather's backyard, drunk and high, and yelling for God to leave me alone. I was tired of feeling that way. I had attempted suicide before. I wanted to die. I would do enough to intentionally OD. And I don't say that for show. Look at this person would go out and go to the ER. I'd do triple that. The grace of God and glory to God. He never allowed that to be my death, my destiny. And God saved me. You know, God saved me. But what it took for me was years later. I got so bad I was running. Then, in other words, you know, how many teenagers or even older you talk to and they're like, yeah, okay, man. You know, I'm not all that. It isn't all that. You know, but they're doing their own thing. They got this. You know, they're selling their ship. That's cool, man. I don't need to hear it. I was always that way until that point. And I knew, man, I felt conviction of God every day. You know, I've been told, well, you hadn't been saved, you wouldn't have felt that. I felt like if I would have died in that state, that I would have lifted my eyes in hell. I felt that was of the Lord, and it did control me to the point I could not get drunk or high enough. There was no line I wouldn't cross. I'd have rather God killed me and answered my foolish prayer of ending it than to wake up and have to face another day. OD'd somewhere, OD'd many times. When you hear the word OD, a lot of people think, well, you didn't OD, you would have died. No, that's when you don't come back from an OD. OD can be an alcoholic blackout where you don't remember some time. I've woke up frozen to the ground in my underwear in the wintertime in the backyard out there hooting and howling, remembered that. Woke up frozen to the ground. Miracle, I woke up. OD'd one time, and this was after that experience with the Lord, and just as real as standing here before you, I knew I was dying. I knew my body could not take what I'd done. I wasn't intending to that night, but there was some awareness, and the foggy dream of the high lifted, and I was aware I was dying, and there was someone holding me. God is my witness behind me, just holding me and loving me. And I know today that to be the Lord. I don't know why. Maybe it's just my grandmother and granddad pouring out their nights on their knees for me. Maybe that's it alone. I talk to parents every day. Yeah, but he's 40. You know, I can't let him in the house. He robs me and disappears. You don't understand. I've tried that. I've prayed. Never give up hope. If there's a breath, if they're in the hospital with a tube up their nose in a coma, there is a hope they could ask the Lord to forgive them. And you know He will. I'm proof. And I'm just one of countless, glory to God, millions. I'm proof and can be turned around. That didn't get me straight. That did not change it for me. And I woke up a different, whole different outlook, but I didn't throw my dope away. I wasn't ready to do that. So I stayed just as bad. Not long after that, my grandfather again, man, I loved him. He was my hero. As men went, I knew there had to be something to serving the Lord because of his living testimony. He told me he prayed for me. He told me I loved you. He'd drag me to church and he had to drag me. I didn't see the value of it. I knew I got a lot of candy if I cried and went down there. I mean, literally as a little kid, I knew, you know, but it meant nothing to me. I had three or four different Sunday school teachers put me on the roster of led another one to the Lord. You know, yeah, absolutely. When do we eat, you know, or whatever. Yeah, praise God. But somewhere not long after that OD, I went to Atlanta just normally like I always do, wherever. Hey, and I tell you, when I say I was a drug addict, guys, I don't mean I smoked too much, drank too much, partied fault. I mean drug addicts, people I would judge. I had a drug dealer one time. I went to his house and he's just, whoa, help, give me the car. You got to take me to the hospital. You got to take me, or wait, just chill out. I'm all right. And I'm like, what's wrong? He said, man, I can't see a spot but about that big. I'm like, what is it? He said, I shot too much dope, man. Yeah, let's go. We'd move a few feet and go, stop, man, I'll get locked up. Stop, be all right. Throw up a little while and he's like, I'm going to make it. Man, thank God you should. I'm going to make it. I'm all right. I'm like, what do you want to do? He's like, let's go do another shot. I said, man, you are insane. 3 years later, I was his biggest customer and another point supplier. 3 years later, he didn't change. He was still that guy. He would not open his door and go, Castleberry, you're too much, dude. Man, don't come around here, man. For real. And that affected me. It didn't change me, but I thought, here's a guy I judge for that stupid stuff. Who is he to not let me on his porch? You know, I saw it, but I still didn't accept what I'd become, the person I'd become. Somewhere in there, again, I was headed to Atlanta, I do remember going to Atlanta. I was really drunk. I was doing Furanol, GHB. A normal day for me was lots of alcohol, pot, and pills. That was working, doing well, making money. That was functioning. I was a functioning addict on that level. But partying was LSD mixed with everything. I'd go to work tripping. And I hope you guys never know what I mean by that, but I couldn't stand to draw breath without exiting my consciousness with a high. And it's all that would make me feel like living just for a moment. But I remember fading into a blackout as I was leaving my grandfather's. And next thing I know, I'm waking up and I hurt. Man, I've got glass shards all in my legs. I'm naked. I've got a lot of cuts, a lot of bruises. My feet hurt so bad I could hardly walk. The skin was off my knuckles on one hand and beat up on the other. My head was swollen up like a cantaloupe. And I started looking around like, damn, I must have got another fight. I'm looking around and the house is destroyed. And I'm staying with my grandfather to help him in his old age. You know, I'm there as the good grandson to help him. And the house is destroyed. And I said, oh my God, man, somebody tried to kill us and robbed us. What's wrong with Grandpa? And I ran downstairs. He's in the only chair that is not destroyed. He had a little bit of wealth that I didn't squander during my use. Countless hundreds of thousands he wasted on me. And so what about money? You can't value a human life that way. But I would have given up. He's in the only chair. He's got a bad black eye and his foot's bleeding. And he does that when I walk in the room. I said, oh my God, who did this, Grandpa? I'll kill him. He said, you did. Now, it was nothing for me to wake up in jail with 13 felonies. I mean, they had to tell me what I did. Hit and run, I had over five. One time with a car load of women. Grace of God. I'm not one of those guys telling you I killed a car load of women. Hit a car on Atlanta Highway one time, and I remember none of it. I remember being in another state, and a buddy who was there said, man, you were going down Atlanta Highway with the hood bowed up and the radiator smoking and the tire rubbing, looking out the window, going so fast, and I recognized the car, and crashed into another building where a friend of mine worked while he's in there with his boss trying to get a promotion and almost get him fired. He's trying to act like he don't know me, and I'm a screaming, raving lunatic. And here in 5 minutes, every car in Hall County, City of Gainesville, and even undercovers are pulling in there after this maniac that about killed some people. I've got several of those things that I did. But when that happened, I could never laugh at that and go, man, you know how I am when I'm drunk. Or I'm mad, man, you don't get up my face. All the pride was gone, and I saw fully how worthless I had become. There's none of us not worth saving. Now, I can't relate with other people. I can't understand child molestation or stuff like that. Now, I don't say that judging it. I'm not drawing a line, but I can't relate with that. I can't understand. I don't see how a guy can look at a guy and go, well, I got to have some of that. I don't get it. And I'm not trying to put boxes, but a lot of you might look at me and go, yeah, I smoke pot in school, but I can't get that. Well, good. I hope you and your children never do, by the grace of God. But for the first time ever, the blinders were all the way off. And I saw what I'd done, and I couldn't deal with it. I slipped both of my wrists deeply. This is the first true, not a doubt, miracle. And a miracle can be something you're unaware of how it happened and will never know the answer. But God perfectly, logically used someone else to do that. You just don't know, and it's still a miracle. Not long after I did so, I lit what I was sure to be my last cigarette, and I'm trying to sit down at Grandpa's feet and wipe his foot and say, God, I'm sorry, man. I would have never, if you were beating me, I wouldn't do you this way. What happened? He said, same thing that always happens, son. He said, I don't know what we're going to do. And rather than, you've done it, get away from me, he said, son, this is going to be hard. We're going to have to do something different. We're going to have to clean all this up. Well, in a minute, they're beating on the door. He did not get up. I was told our phone had called 911. I'm sorry, am I running over?
No, keep going.
I'll try and wrap it up, but they show up, and rightfully so. I mean, I'm bleeding like a pig. They slam me on my face and rip my hands up. Bah, bah, bah. They have me dog cuffed and tending to my grandfather as I wanted them to. There was no fight in me. I was a guy that took pride in, you know, once I settled the death thing that I would die in my lifestyle, I was fearless. And I don't mean that in pride and arrogance. I truly had a death. What's the worst that can happen? You're going to put me out of my misery. I would try and suicide by cop on two different times. Honestly, that was my thought. Just charge them screaming. But the fight was gone. It was gone out of me. I went to jail often, and it was gladiator school for me. Now, the first time I was arrested in California at 15, I scared to death. I begged him, don't put me in the bullpen with all these guys. And he didn't. It was a real nice cop, and he gave me a break. Wasn't long after that, I went through the rougher side because I did the big boy crimes that brought that on. And I turned that fear into absolute adrenaline, and I got off on being the only guy in there that would turn the ball game off just to start a riot. Because I'd really settled that, what can you take from me? If you kill me, I don't have to face tomorrow. I truly had that death wish. And thank God, you know, I look back, I know people that were so much better. They never crossed the lines I did. And they're dead, probably in hell. Now, I don't know. I'm not judging. But there was no sign they ever got to know the Lord. You know, it was their prom. One guy, it was his prom. It wasn't even a drinker died. He's gone. But God gave me a chance. He gave me another opportunity again and again and again. Well, I went to jail and it was different. I wouldn't. Uh-oh, here's Castleberry. I mean, the homeboys that lived in jail, it was like, no, Castleberry would clip your wings. You know, there'd be a new guy be like, yeah, well, no one is Superman. All eight of us can whip your butt. And I'm like, you're the one talking. I don't say that to look cool. That's where my mind was at. Don't think that's good, kids. It's not at all. You never want to go to jail. You never want to go to jail. Listen to your mom and dad. You know, in spite of their faults that you may or may not be aware of, they love you. And especially, particularly if they're in church or any church, and they want the best for you. You do not know everything. You know, the older I got up to 25, I was smarter and smarter. Now the older I live, the less I realize I know. But that time in jail was different. I couldn't get off my bunk. I didn't eat for several days. First I went to Laurelwood. They stapled me up, watched me, put me on suicide watch, and went back to jail. That was nothing. I went all the time. It was my second home. I would break the law to get off speed sometimes, just to go in there and clean up because I couldn't clean my own hand up, you know. But it was different, man. I couldn't find any hope or anything. And I started thinking about, you know, when I thought about the Lord years earlier and before, you know, I never thought in my wildest times I could do. That was the line, I'd never do my granddad wrong. I would have killed anyone for messing with my granddad, man. But there was no way I could rectify or justify that. I didn't even see at that point, if I got out, he was okay, that we could ever overcome that and things be okay. You know, and I was thinking on that real hard, you know, and those of you who have done time, yeah, you got people, just good old guys, they broke the law or whatever, and you got idiots that are going to live their whole life in there. I don't say it judgmental. I say I would have been that, but you know, they're never getting out. And if they do, it's short vacations in between going back. You know, but it's just mindless rattle. And I zoned out on all of that, and I started thinking about that. And it occurred to me in a small cloud about that big back on the horizon, I can fix this. And I said, what is this? And God said, it is I. Clearly, and immediately spoken into my spirit. Everyone, of course, thought I was insane. Most of them knew me as this, you know, this was gladiator school, or this guy that, you know, no, he'd kill you, man. You don't want them, da, 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 you know. And they're like, man, is he playing a game? He's trying to beat these charges. He's trying to beat these charges. I'd have people that knew me, you know, friends, jail friends. I'd be like, for real, man, what's really going on? What's up? What's up, man? Are you running action? You know what? What's up? No, man, I'm for real. I started handling Bible studies, and without going into it, the Spirit of God swept me up. It was like the night I was OD'd and held, but I wasn't high, man. I was just high on God. And God just said, I love you. Man, I love you. Let me love you. And I have from that day forward. I started handling Bible studies. I'm still me. I was cash register honest immediately. My grandfather was still in the hospital. I was still in jail, probably never getting out, and I was okay with that. I was okay with that. I wasn't even working a legal angle. I turned down a public defender, you know, for the first time. I wasn't fighting anything, and I was okay with that. Nothing had changed, but I had. Man, I had changed. And after a while, even people go, no, man, I don't know if he's crazy or what, but he's for real. He ain't playing. Yeah, he might be. I think he's kind of, you know, all that stuff affecting him, man. When you got people who are, you know, are lifelong drug addicts older than you and think you've lost a screw, you know. But I didn't care at all. For the first time in my life, I went before the judge, and it wasn't a, yeah, what you going to do? It wasn't a, oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'm a changed person. There was none of that. Stood before a judge that I help her with people today, that I had stood before. And she said very angrily and very justifiably, months later, Mr. Castleberry, I've known you a while, and you've just been trouble. I've never seen anything. I've seen you lie. I've seen you cry. I've seen everything but faith, but you've done it this time. Do you realize how this court looks at you. I know your granddad, best guy I've ever known. And you have viciously beat him up and destroyed his house. How much further do you think you could go? Do you realize how this court sees you today? And my lawyer started to say something that they made me take. And I said, shh. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. I said, and I mean it. For the first time ever, I'm not going to lie to you. I'd give my right arm to have not done what I did. But you know what? I got really saved. And everybody gets saved in jail, don't they? Everybody's got, oh, yes, Your Honor. Some mean it. And I mean, it isn't always a lie. But get back out there, same girl, same job, same trouble. You know, and it doesn't last long. And I said, and I'm not telling you that for your benefit. I mean, you do as you feel right. If you give me life, I deserve it. And I will smile and thank God for what I have today. She cut me loose on time served. Wow. I got a lot of probation. It was a miracle. The guy representing me and everyone in there is like, wow, it was like a movie. But I'm in it. And it really didn't click what had just happened to me. I was so okay. You know, God doesn't have to change circumstances to change your outlook about it. I know people, again, my story is Taj Mahal compared to some young ladies I've talked to or people. Or read the stories, man. North Korea, if they catch you with a Bible, certain parts of execute your family. Sorry to be graphic, but I mean, that's the world we're living in. My story is nothing compared to something alongside that. But again, nothing had changed but my heart. You know, it's like you can have a problem that's overwhelming and you're praying, even as a child of God, God, do this and I can do this. I can make this work if You do this, this, and this. Or Father, please do this because my limited mind, my finite mind, even meaning well, can only see a few possible scenarios or outcomes. And God do none of that. In fact, just like He usually does with me, and change my outlook. And I go, wow, thank You for not answering my prayer. But I was okay with it. I got out. It was months before I could approach my grandfather. My remaining family had restraining orders against me. They knew me, man. They knew the real me, which hadn't changed to them, and I understood that. I was not the guy, man, I've been saved. I'm different. I understood their animosity. Man, you know, I'd have beat someone half to death for doing someone like my grandfather that way. I understood it. But I just prayed for him, and I didn't pray, oh, let him forget this. And I did pray that he forgive me. But I pray for his well-being, that he have peace in his latter years, that he get to know it's not for show and that I had changed. And when I got it all worked up and finally went and got to see him, and I could see him being chaperoned by a lot of family standing around like, boy, you try something. And I understood it. I was kind to all of them. I understood. I appreciated it in a weird way. I appreciated that protectiveness of the man I love more than any other human. And I said, Grandpa, and I started to go through my speech that I planned to admit, and I just broke down, man. I was laying on the ground, man, and I was just tough, you didn't screw with God, and I was crying like a baby puddle. Not for sure, I couldn't speak, and he quieted me. He said, son, let me talk. And I said, I know, sorry, don't get any, shh, let me talk. He said, I've prayed for you your whole life. Your whole life. If this is what it took, he said, let me tell you a miracle. The night you left and I was begging you not, which was countless nights before, I prayed God let you go ahead and do whatever it would take for to put you out of your misery or come to the knowledge of Him. I knew I was dying soon. What little I had, you'd OD or die on, and you were hell bound. And I finally, completely let you go to God and have peace. I wish this would have happened 20 years ago, son. We've got a relationship now. Just like the Lord, man, my grandfather. And yeah, he's my grandfather, but that's Christianity, guys. You know, the things I mentioned about my mom, I'm not sharing with you, look at, oh, this victim and this horrible witch. Sadly, my mom's not in my life. She's still into those things. They still run her. She was until my wife was pregnant with Joshua, our first child, and I realized, you know, now it's even turned into an anger towards me for doing well, which I don't quite understand. I understand sin. I've sinned worse than her and most. But I've completely forgiven, but I've had to put her out of my life as a boundary. In fact, the Holy Spirit led us. She can't comfortably come up to her grandchildren, my child, and let... How do you teach them at that age? Well, this is your grandmother, but completely unsafe. You never get in a car. You never talk to her. You know? And really, we weighed that out for a year, didn't we? We weighed that out. You know, it's not Christian to put her out of your life. And I had to give her up to God. And I don't mean I'm done with you. There's none of that. I pray, man, she come to the peace and knowledge I have and salvation. And many others, particularly her, she's my mother, man. You know, and I've shared this with Christians. Them go, yeah, that's your mom. I know. You don't understand. It isn't. She's broke boundaries like I did, and now she's ousted. I've got to protect my children or my charge. My children, that is an optional relationship. It's as hard as that sounds. My children are not. You know, and out of all of this, they may see Dad fall on their face. They see me make bad decisions. They see me upset. They see me sad. See me angry. My children will never be beat or cussed or told to shut up. They never hear me abuse their mom. They've never heard it, never will. And that's the grace of God. In fact, I'm incapable of being that person. You are. Everyone here. But God is capable of all things, and He's willing to give you that life. And the point, if I could end on this note, it isn't about me. It isn't, oh man, Chance went through a lot. Bless his heart. That is not even into play here. Hopefully it's to help some of you children, even homeschooled, sheltered children. You will meet a friend who is a friend. You enjoy them. You get along good. You have a lot in common. Hopefully it won't be many, and you have discernment. That'll say, hey man, try this or do this. It will happen. Not that you'll make the bad decision. That will happen. The fool thinks you will not be tempted. Particularly, you're a target as a child of God. Your children are a target. You can't even be a Christian home, bring them to church every time the doors open, really be involved, and I don't mean for show. You're genuine, you love God, but not talk to them about drugs, about sex, about cheating, stealing, lying, and just, oh, they'll turn out. Let the Sunday school teacher handle that. You better have those tough talks, those embarrassing, humbling talks. You know, I don't hide my past from my children, but I use it, hopefully like I am now, to go, man, you don't want to try these things. You don't want your children to go through this. You know, so I would like to end on that note, and two, giving God all the glory, for I'm just one of countless others that He has turned around. I'm not a guy that turned a leaf, realized I was wrong, and wanted to turn around and succeed. Now, who don't want that? But I couldn't do any of that. I couldn't even clean up my hand or quit dope, man, let alone be a good person. It's not in me. But I've got the grace and glory of God living inside me and the Holy Spirit. We have bad days, man. We're people. Anyone that plays the Brady Bunch, there's not a Brady Bunch. I know, from living on both sides of the fence. But God is my witness. My wife and I don't fight. I don't say that arrogantly. It could happen tomorrow. Hadn't happened in 12, 13 years. I'm not good with time. But I love my wife. She loves me. God gifted me with her. It was the first relationship in my life I didn't have sex and try and build a relationship around, or drugs or alcohol. When I was first saved, and I'll say this, and I'll quit. Y'all asked me, so here you got what you got. Check. I was accused of being gay when I was really saved. I quit dating. And now, with the Holy Spirit inside of me, fired up on God. And man, I wanted to give other people recovery that I had. I was getting drunks off the street that didn't even want recovery, going, man, it's 20 degrees. You don't have to live like this. Come on with me. I had a one-bedroom apartment, and I had four drunks living in there that I made. And they're like, yeah, man, you got any liquor? I'm like, oh, man. You know, And every now and then you'd meet one to work a day or two or could cook or something, you know, and I'd come home and they'd rob me and drink my aftershave and stuff, you know. But I meant well. I was so ignorant, but I meant it, man. I could go. I looked at a guy as a Christian. I keep saying I'll quit. I am trying. I promise. I promise. I looked at a guy as saved. I had a pawn shop, you know, a few years after I saved, doing well. And this guy pulled up and he backed the car up, about hit the building. He's wasted. You know, and what skin is exposed is a tattoo. I don't judge it. I got one. It's ugly. I ain't going to show you, you know. But just, he stank. He hadn't bathed and who knows what. He is screaming and cursing at some lady and a kid in this car. Yeah. Bam, the door. And comes walking in, you know, looking at me like, I'm about to tell you what time it is. And I say, not the Christian, the man and the flesh, Chance said, to myself, not out loud, how could a mother even love that? And honestly, that was my, I judged him entirely, not trying to, it was just, man, what a waste. And I for a moment, forgot everything I just told you. And I'm judging this guy. And God, as clearly as you saying it to me, said, let me show you how I love him. And for a moment, God let me see through his eyes, and I wanted to hug this nasty man I've never seen and take him home and go, brother, please, there's a better way to live. It was so heavy, I wanted to follow him. In fact, God had to disconnect it for me to function throughout the day. An absolute true miracle. When I met my wife, we agreed to go out. And when I went in the restaurant, went in the room, and I don't see visions and all that. And I don't want to, you know, unless it's really for the glory of God and my benefit. But so I'm not talking crazy, but this is my truth. I turn the corner and I see her. And we're both cautious. We're not looking for love or trying to hook up. We're Christians and on our walk and don't need a man or woman, but we're open for the Holy Spirit. And when I looked at her and she was beautiful and talking, man, we were younger then, weren't we, baby? And it's just like the Dr. Pepper. It's like, I couldn't hear a word. And God said as clear as anything again, this will be your wife. Our first date. Our second date the next night, I can't hear her again. I can't hear a word. And she's beautiful, man. And I'm just, wow. I can't even believe if this girl really knew me. So I told her all about me right away. I want to get this all out of the way. But I still can't really hear. And God said, remember what I told you. And I said, you know what? If God's really in this to myself, I can't blow this. And if not, we'll go ahead and clear this up and get out of the way. I said, you know what? I'm not a stalker. Honestly, I might have been at some point, but I'm not weird. I love God. But God told me, you're going to be my wife. And all I know is, if that's of God, I'm going to love you forever and we're going to be together. And she goes, okay. True story. Our second date, we'd been in each other's presence total 3 or 4 hours. Hey, she's still right there. That's of God. Yes. That's of God. So I don't care who you are, what you've done, what line you've crossed. It's a lie of the devil that says, man, you've gone too far. I wouldn't have given 2 cents and wouldn't repeat being at that moment when I woke up and saw what I did my grandfather. For anything. I never saw any hope. And I'm a happy, blessed man raising my own children. That I'll show him in heaven one day and go, look at your great grandson that I named after you. Yeah. You know, so I love y'all. Thank you for asking me, and I hope I've shared well.